Hello, listeners. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy and inside at the moment. I hope you all enjoy this episode as a little bit of a relief from everything that is going on in the world. Also, if you're bored, then subscribe, rate, and leave a written review for me. And enjoy the episode. Welcome to Dating Talk with Keely. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. How about you tell the listeners your name and your age?
My name is Colleen and I am 27.
Awesome. How do you identify?
I am bisexual, pansexual, female.
Awesome. So where did you grow up?
Kind of all over. I was born in Texas, and then I lived in Kentucky, briefly in a suburb of Seattle, back to the Midwest in Indiana, and then back to the Pacific Northwest in another suburb of Seattle for the rest of that. Now I live in the city proper.
Okay, cool. So what were your parents like growing up?
So we moved around a lot because of my dad. He was in the theater when I was really young, until I was in middle school. And my mom did various office jobs. I don't think she ever actually told us her title. They're still married. There were definitely times when they were like kind of bickery, but I've definitely seen their relationship get a lot stronger, which is cool. And especially within the last 15 years, I guess, we moved back to Seattle the second time because my dad went from being in the theater to being a pastor. And, that I, to me, weirdly, but probably to them, makes a lot of sense, really strengthened their relationship. So good on them for that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What do you do for a living?
I am a nanny.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Love that. So when was your last real relationship?
The last real relationship ended in September/December of last year.
Okay. All right. And how was like the breakup?
It was weird. We had been together for 3.5 years by the time we broke up in September. And it was kind of unexpected for me, but like kind of not. Like I could kind of see it coming. Things had gotten weird in the last year. My ex's father had passed away really suddenly, and that obviously it took a toll on him, which then took a toll on the relationship. And when we broke up, we were living together, and I told him, like, I totally get it. I respect the decision, but I can't, like, move out right now because Seattle is an expensive city, and I'm just a nanny. So we stayed living together until December. And that part was actually like not bad. We agreed to be like kind and loving and respectful to each other during that time because it was hard for both of us. And we did achieve that. And then we tried to stay friends after I moved out. And that worked for a little while. And then just because of like miscommunication and jealousy, there was a big fight at New Year's. We stopped talking to each other and then recently have kind of hashed everything out and are back on good terms because we were together. It was my longest relationship and I'd never lived with anyone before. So I do still have that like attachment that 3.5 years is a long time. And some of the things we went through together, I, like, want to have him as a positive person.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. It sounds like you guys were like mature about it, especially if you guys could continue living together.
Yeah, I felt really proud of us. Both of our therapists were like, wow, good job. So that's always good to get the therapy gold star.
Well, you both had therapists as well.
Yes, definitely.
So what's your perspective on dating right now?
I am not dating right now. I dipped my toe back into it in January, February, and it was such a shit show. I had like two really terrible experiences and I was like, nope, we're gonna be done with that for a while. And like, I'm really busy and have kind of created a lot of busyness for myself in wake of the breakup to kind of distract. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just focus on these other things and not dating because y'all are crazy out there right now. So yeah. I just cannot.
I don't blame you at all. So do you use any of the dating apps or have you in the past? Like, do you have a favorite?
Yeah. So in the past, I was on OkCupid and Tinder. And then this past, which maybe this was also part of it, this past dip into dating, I was feeling so lazy about it that I didn't want to download. And I literally didn't want to download another app onto my phone. So I just used Facebook dating. And it
was... Oh my God. Yes. I've been waiting for somebody to tell me.
It's me.
God. Yes.
It was very weird. It was like kind of clunky to use, and then you have to decide like yes or no to seeing mutual friends. And so that was kind of weird because I was like, well, I don't really want to see mutual friends of my ex, but like I'm bisexual and the queer community in Seattle is small. Like it's such a big queer city, but it's like Seattle is the biggest small town you'll ever be in. And so I was like, well, if I want to date women, I need to say yes to seeing mutuals, because if I say no, then I won't see all of these potential dates that are like friends with other people that I know, or like I used to be in a poly Facebook group. So I'm still friends with a lot of those people, and that like eliminates a huge amount of potential people. So it's kind of sucks that you have to choose. I feel like they should be able to be like select people that you don't want to see from, because it's Facebook, like all the data is right there.
Right.
I did, however, you could write a small bio, but then you could also pick some questions to answer on your profile. And I did like that. The questions were interesting. And it's then again the same as all of the same apps where you just kind of like swipe back. You can see about their profile and you can click into their Facebook profile, I think, just to do, you know, the light cyber stalking that we all do nowadays.
Oh, I might have to just like see what is up on Facebook dating.
I think you should try it. It's like definitely not my favorite. And I probably won't use it again just because of the weird matches that I was getting and the two dates that came out of it were so bad. But it was interesting. It's like definitely easy, which is what I was looking for at that point.
Yeah. You might want to try Hinge because they have like questions.
Yeah. So I've been listening to your podcast since Yay! You posted about it in the group. And Hinge, when I became monogamous about 2.5-3 years ago, because my ex and I were poly for a little while, Hinge was like not real. Like it was a thing, but not a lot of people were using it. So I never hopped on it. And people have talked about it quite a few times. I'm like, okay, maybe that's one that I'm going to want to try when I'm ready to date again.
Yeah, when you're ready, for sure. So talk to me about polyamory then. Did you guys have any rules or I shouldn't say rules and regulations, right? That sounds stupid, but.
Right. Like, I know what you mean. Yeah. Boundaries. So I actually had been solo poly and poly with somebody else, like in a relationship, but also poly way before I met my ex. And so when I was solo poly, I didn't have any defined partners. I just had a lot of like casual people that I would see regularly, a lot of hookups. And then my previous ex, when he and I were poly, most of our like boundaries with each other were just, I really wanted to know a lot about the people before he went on a date with them. And he really wanted to know a lot afterwards. We always went to other people's places. Like, we never had them in our shared beds. And then my most recent ex, when he and I met each other, I was already in this other relationship. He became another, like, main partner. And he really just, like, didn't want to hear anything about it. And so, basically, that was his boundary. Was, like, I was safe. I was using condoms with everyone except for my two main partners. And they were using condoms with everyone else. We were all getting tested regularly, especially because I have HSV. So, I'm on antivirals for it. But it's, like, important for me to, like, make sure my partners are being safe and getting tested and not exposing other people on accident.
Right. So, and this, just for listeners, what's HSV?
Oh, it's herpes.
Okay.
And I have the second strain, which is the genital strain.
Okay, gotcha. So what's that like when you're dating? Like, do you have to be super upfront about that?
Yes. When I first got symptoms of it, I was in a relationship. I went to my gynecologist and she did a swab and she's like, I can already tell you that this is herpes. You've probably had it for a long time. It stays dormant in women for a long time. So I told him, he broke up with me immediately. It was, but I knew he was going to, he was like not the best human being, but he broke up with me immediately and I was very upset. I was very in love with him, and I just did a lot of research after that. I kind of like super educated myself as like a tool to then go in and be like, hey, here's this statistic. Did you know like 1 in 3 people have this? Did you know of those 1 in 3 people, like only 80% know? And of those 80%, only 30% will disclose to their people. And like, I just came at people with so many facts and was like, here's my transmission rate. Here's my transmission rate when I'm like using these meds that I use. Also, we'll be using a condom. So here's that new transmission rate. And I just made it so factual and like so business-like almost that I think, even though it still obviously like takes people off guard, that I know my shit and that I'm kind of just like owning it. Hey, this isn't actually an issue. I'm not like projecting any insecurity about it. I'm just projecting it as like, hey, here's how we need to be safe with each other. It actually hasn't been too bad. Like, I do occasionally still get rejected for it. And there have been a couple of like weird times where like one guy, we were using a condom and he would sleep with me, but he wouldn't, like, he would have sex, penetrative sex with me, but he wouldn't go down on me or anything, even though the transmission rates are lower in my case. It was very weird. He said it in an extremely rude way as well, but typically I don't. All right,
dude, then I'm not going to go down on you either.
Right. Oh, exactly. I was like, well, then we can just stop hooking up because I need to get mine.
But you're right. Like, 1 in 3 people do have it. So it's kind of like,
it's so common.
And you're being upfront and honest about it. Like, I feel like if somebody told me that, like, I'd be like, okay, like, I use condoms anyway. So let's just do
this. So like, let's rock and roll. I know I'm keeping you safe. You know, you can keep yourself safe. And like, it's gone pretty well for me. I've had more sex since getting herpes than previous to having herpes. So clearly, I'm fine.
You do you, girl. Love that. Okay, so tell me about like the best date you've gone on.
The best date I think is actually with my most recent ex. I bought him a pasta making class for Christmas. And so we went, and it's hosted by this local company, and they make like frozen nutritious meals, but they also host all these classes. So we went to the class, we got to learn how to do something. It was all couples, which was really fun. Like, it felt very datey because everybody was on a date. And they gave us so much food while we were cooking. So we were just eating and cooking and hanging out and talking with all these people. And it was fun to learn something new together, and always fun to like learn a new skill. And we were getting really good food, and just like everybody was having such a good time. So it like everyone was having a good time. The vibe was so good that like it just enhanced everything. It was super fun.
Nice. I like that.
If it wasn't so expensive, I would like try to get lots of people to take me on that date. But
did you guys have like drinks during and stuff?
We had drinks before, but they did not serve us drinks during.
Okay, got it. Okay, so you told me about your best date. What about your worst date?
Okay, I have two because I really couldn't decide.
No, please tell them both.
The first one is a first date. So this was like back when I was I think this was back when I was solo poly, so I didn't have any main partners. I met this guy off Tinder. He seemed really cool. He was like a chill stoner, which was definitely my ideal vibe at that time. And he asked me to dinner at this Thai place. And I was like, great, you know, seems cool. At the very least, I'll like get a free dinner, which was my in general vibe of dating, which is like, you seem great, and if this sucks, at least I get a drink or food or whatever, because I just didn't care. So I went out with him, and we had actually like really good conversation. We were getting along, the food was really good, and then towards the end of the meal, he was like, oh no, I think I left my wallet in the car.
No.
And I was like, oh shoot, well like, do you want to go get it? And he's like, no, I mean, it's kind of far away, do you mind getting the bill? And I was like, yeah, that sure, because one, what am I supposed to say in that situation, and two, like, I didn't mind. Like, if he had been like, hey, let's split our first date, I would have been annoyed, but I would have done it. But I just felt like very on the spot. So I was like, yeah, you sure? Okay. And he was like, thanks so much. And this was like kind of before Venmo was really a big thing. So he's like, we will go like just to the gas station up the road after dinner, and I'll give you cash back. And I was like, all right, that sounds good. And so I paid for dinner, and we left, and we're in the car, and he's like, so just so you know, I actually did that on purpose. And like, I always do this on a first date to like test the girl to see if she's willing to pay for the dinner or not, because blah, something extremely misogynistic after that, I can't even remember. But I was so pissed, and I was like, you know what, that's really fucked up to like test somebody. You could have just asked me to split dinner, or been like, hey, heads up, I'm like kind of broke right now, can you pay for dinner? But instead you like specifically tested me. Like, that's really creepy. I don't really like this, and I'm really upset right now, and I think I'm just
my mouth is like to my chin, right? Like what?
I like still boggles my mind that it was like such a calculated like quote-unquote test, which is just so gross anyway, but it was just I am not okay with like manipulative people or liars. And this was just like so extreme. There are so many other ways to be like, is this girl just dating me for my money? Which, like, dude, you're a stoner in Seattle. Like, none of us have money unless you're in tech.
Just be like, do you mind paying half? Right. Like, it's not that hard.
Right. And it just was so gross. And the gas station he took us to didn't give cash back. And I was just, like, so pissed at that point that I lived in the neighborhood. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk home.
Good for you.
I did not talk to him again.
Could have been like, okay, let's go to your Bank of America. Let's go.
I know. Give me my money. I think I was just so in shock by what happened that I was like, I can't. How do I respond?
I would have gotten the hell out of there too. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was so bad.
So you prefer for men to pay for you on the first date, right?
I do. I'm like, obviously pretty kinky and weird and don't subscribe to a lot of gender stereotypes or relationship stereotypes, but I do think it's nice for the guy to pay on the first date. But also, when I ask a woman out, if I ask her out, I pay for the date for the first
date. That was my follow-up question. I was going to ask, how does it work when you're dating a woman?
If I ask her out, I think I should pay for the date.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
At least for the first date, because it's just like, I don't know, it's sweet and you're trying to show somebody that you're like interested in spending time with them and you care about, like, you know, we're all busy. We all have shit we could be doing. So like, I just think it's a nice gesture to be like, I appreciate you being here. I'm interested in your time.
Right. Okay. I get that.
And the other really bad one was not a first date. It was somebody that I had been like casually seeing, was not 100% sure how I felt about him. He made some offhand comments that had bothered me previously. And we went to dinner. He was just talking to me. I had like just had a birthday. So he was like, what are your goals for this year? Blah, blah, blah. And I was at that time like living with a really toxic roommate, and I was like, I'm just trying to like stay calm this year and be happy and like hopefully move out and, you know, just be happy this year. And he's like, well, that's not good enough. And I was like, what? And we kept talking, and I like, he was one of the first people that I came out to as bi and talked to him about that. He knew I was poly, but talked to him about that journey that I was on and just like why just being happy was good enough for me. And he sat there and like mansplained all of it to me. He was like, well, you're not bisexual. You're just young and like trying to experience different things. And like, it's just a phase and like, you'll grow out of it eventually. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
sir, I have been bisexual since I was like 6 years old watching The Mummy and Rachel Weisz was on my TV. And I was like, oh shoot. Like, I've known, it's not a phase. And he was my ride home. And like, I didn't have like a transit app on my phone at that point. And so I was like, I have to sit through this bullshit until he takes me home. And it was, I should have called a friend, hindsight, but it was just like me trying to express myself to this person that I was trying to date, because that's important to me, to be able to talk to people about like my innermost thoughts and desires, like most of us want to. And he was just like cutting everything down immediately every time I said it, mansplaining all this stuff to me that like I already knew what I was talking about. It was awful. And it was the week before his birthday. So I like, he dropped me off at home and I just like did not text him and didn't say anything to him, because I was like, I feel like I should really wait until after his birthday to tell him that I don't want to see him, because I don't want to be like the bitch that broke up with him right before his birthday or whatever. And he texted me, he ended up texting me on his birthday, saying something and I just responded kind of like, oh yeah, okay, cool. And he was like, do you just not want to see me anymore? And I was like, actually, no, I don't. Bye. So now I get to be the bitch that broke up with him on his birthday. But
really, whatever. Sorry about it. I would have done it when he dropped me off. Like, hey, by the way.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, see you never. How about your first time having sex? What was that experience like?
Oh, it was terrible. I was a freshman in high school, and I have always been one of the youngest in my class. So I was 14 and was dating a 17-year-old junior who had already had sex, and he had been like hinting at it for a while. I knew he really wanted to do it. I thought that I also wanted to do it. And my parents always got home super late, so I just invited him to my house after school. You know, we had like made out and fooled around a little bit previous to that, and so I was like comfortable up to a point, and then I kind of realized that I wasn't ready, but he was already like undressing me, and I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of laid there, and he had sex with me until I, like, it's almost like I was having an out-of-body experience, and I could, like, see what was happening, and I thought that I was saying stop, but I wasn't until I was, like, screaming it, and then he stopped and felt really bad, and I felt really bad and didn't know what to do and, like, didn't know what I had just experienced. And since I was a virgin and he did not make sure I was lubricated, as most of them don't when we're virgins, I like bled the rest of the day, which was super traumatic for me. And I had to go to church that night. So oh, I also no. was like, what did I just do? And then I was in church with my dad and I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? And yeah, it was not my favorite experience. And he broke up with me like a week later because I told him I didn't want to have sex anymore.
Oh,
and
no.
And so it was just in general, not the best.
But also pretty like common for women to have that sort of experience.
Yeah, which doesn't that suck so much for mm-hmm. all of the women listening? If you have a child or a younger sister or niece or whatever, let them know. This does not need to be their experience, because
and also virginity
is a social. Yeah, let the men know. Let everybody know. Virginity mm-hmm. is a social construct. You should make sure that both people are having a good time and actually want to consent. And ongoing consent is important.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that has changed a little bit from when, like, we were young.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I feel like it kind of has, just with, like, I'm so impressed by a lot of what I see, you know, granted on social media and through other social media platforms, but it just seems like teenagers nowadays are a little bit more with it than we were. Like, they are actively trying to do things. They're getting involved in politics earlier. They're like keeping up with all of these sexual assault cases that have been in the news, and I hope that that's like rubbing off in a positive way.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
Yeah, one can hope. The kids are all right.
Yeah. So that was a bad experience, but I want to hear about the best sex you've ever had and, like, what made it so mind-blowing.
Okay. When you asked me this question, I was like, immediately, I already knew what I was going to say. So I had this guy who was my dom for a while, and one of our earliest encounters, I don't think it was our first one, but it was, like, pretty early on, I was really young and inexperienced, and he had asked me, like, what turns you on? What are your hot spots? And I was like, I don't really know, to be honest, because, like, I haven't been having that good of sex. And he was like, great, well, we're going to find out together.
Oh, yes, please.
So he smoked me out. I was, like, nice and high. He blindfolded me and put music in my ears. So I was like complete sensory deprivation, and I was high. And he just like kissed and touched and like did ice and hot wax like all over my body to see like what I reacted to. And then he ate me out and then he fucked me and I came the hardest I ever have, probably.
I'm not gonna lie, I just got turned on.
It was so hot.
Like, that sounds amazing.
It was incredible. He and I are no longer in contact, but like, shout out to him if he's ever listening in the future. Oh my god, it was so, so amazing.
Oh my god, that does sound amazing. I've been meaning to do, I've never done the blindfold thing, and I'm like, why have I never done that? Like,
great.
I know. I need to get on that.
Find somebody who's in with it. It's so fun. Especially if you like keep the, I mean, most of us don't have sex with the lights fully on. Some of us do. That's cool. But like, if you keep the lights really dim and then have the blindfold on, it just like, there's nothing kind of like coming up under the blindfold and it just feels really great.
Ooh, I'll have to get a light bulb for my salt lamp because it ran out.
Perfect. Set the mood with the salt lamp, cleansing our bodies while we're having sex.
Exactly. Okay, so how about a funny sex encounter you've had?
So it's more funny to me than like the actual sex part was funny. But I was dating this guy who was like so into himself, like painfully into himself, and initially I was attracted to it, and then once I started hanging out with him, I was like, this is kind of annoying and I'm gonna be sassy to you to like get myself off because I enjoy making you frustrated because Ooh. I'm not into you. And he was a trained pianist and he had a piano, like a keyboard, set up in his bedroom, and I came over, this was probably like the second time we had hooked up, and he was like, and I had been asking him to play piano for me, and he was like, okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll play piano for you, and every time you're impressed, you have to take a piece of clothing off. So I sat on his bed fully clothed the entire time, and he was so good. I was impressed the whole time. If I had not been being a brat, I would have been naked in like 10 seconds. But because I was dedicated to being a brat, I just sat in the middle of his bed, fully clothed. And when he turned around, the expression on his face was like so confused and so disappointed. And it was just like very entertaining to me. So mostly funny for me, but it's a good story.
Well, guys like when you're like bratty anyway.
Exactly. Right? And the sex that followed of me being a brat was great. So like, mission accomplished for myself.
There you go. He had something to prove.
Yes.
So what turns you on, and is it different for a man versus a woman?
Yes, definitely different. For most men, I'm very attracted to the like typical Pacific Northwestern beards, tattoos, shirts rolled up on their sleeves, like a good forearm, just like the stereotypical like Pacific Northwest manly man is what I'm typically attracted to.
I love a big arm muscle.
Oh, me too. And when they're forearms, you can just tell that they're like nice and strong. That's what gets me every time.
Yeah.
I'm typically label myself as bisexual, but I am pansexual. Like, your genitalia, I'm cool with all of it or none of it. So there's like this in between where I'm really into androgyny just in general. If they're guys or girls or whatever, that kind of like look is super hot. And there's, I don't know what it is about it. It's just like the combination of being soft and masculine at the same time and owning both of them is like very attractive to me.
Mm.
But I do also love a lipstick. lesbian type look, like the very high femme girly girl is my typical girl crush ideal.
Nice.
Yeah.
But so go ahead.
I was just going to say, there was a meme that I saw the other day that was basically like, my sexual orientation is everyone is attractive and I'm kind of afraid of everyone. And like, I feel like that very accurately represents how I feel about everyone. Everyone is attractive. There's definitely some looks that I tend to go for over others, but basically like everybody's pretty hot.
Yeah. You can always find something in anybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What about a Walk of Fame story?
I feel like I have many. I think the most memorable one was this guy that I was like casually hooking up with, but we did hook up with each other often. We were both high. We had really loud sex and I didn't realize that all of his housemates were home. And so when I left, they were like, two of them were in the living room and one of them was in the kitchen. And I like walked past all of them on the way out. And I was like slightly embarrassed, but also like, yeah, what's up? Like, how's everybody doing?
High five.
High five all around and bye. Please don't look at me.
Oh, man. That's funny. And what about an ideal first date?
I think first date wise, I really, similarly to you and a lot of people that have been on the podcast, I really like to just go for drinks, have good conversation, you know, like somewhere we can sit and talk and kind of get to know each other and also like have a little bit of a drink, maybe a little snack, but something pretty low key just to test out the waters, I think.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, definitely.
Did you know that each one teach one and each one reach one until all are thought? On For Change Be Bold podcast, I am grateful for the opportunity to showcase many business owners and to help you, the listeners, to learn how to build and grow your business. So join me every single week as we dig deep into different topics pertaining to business. I am your host, Anika Hutchinson. Head on over and join us at For Change Be Bold podcast.
Now it's time for some games. Okay, so we're going to do.
Okay.
And I usually make them up, but today I got them from womenshealthmagazine.com. So shout out to them.
Awesome. Shout out Women's Health.
Yeah, seriously. So would you rather sex only in the morning or only ever at night?
Only ever at night. Who really has time in the morning except for on the weekends, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it in when I can.
I feel like some men might say only in the morning.
Yeah, I guess as females, we luck out with not actually having to deal with morning wood. We can pretty much go about our lives even if we are horny in the morning because no one knows.
Exactly. Would you rather give pleasure or receive pleasure for the rest of your life?
Receive. Yeah, I think receive. I don't know. Maybe that's selfish, but I've had a lot of bad sex and not gotten off a lot of times. So if I was going to go back to that, I'd be a little annoyed.
Yeah, like I would rather give than receive, but if it's for the rest of my life, like
right.
I'm going to receive.
Right. I mean, a vibrator can only get you so far if you're giving for the rest of your life. Like,
right. Like, I at least want to be, like, fingered or something.
Right, because then, what is pleasured really on this one? Like, is it we are never getting anything? Because then definitely, yes, receive every time. Is it just yeah. that you're never going to, like, have your favorite thing? I'm never going to get eaten out again. Like, I'm still – or fingered, I'm still going to choose receive. Because I like to get off.
Yeah, same. Okay, would you rather 69 or just give or just receive?
Definitely not 69. I've never had a positive 69 experience.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's number one, I just get too distracted. I'm a good multitasker in other parts of my life, but not 69.
Exactly. I'm like, I take pride in my blowjobs. I need it.
I need
all the space.
Also, like, exactly. I need the space. I need to be in a comfortable position because, like, I also take a lot of pride in my blowjobs. But if my neck is going to be cramped or I'm not going to be in a good position, then I'm not going to be excited to give it to you. And the quality is automatically going to go down.
And also, you're not getting off, like, while he's going down on you because you're not even focused on that.
Right, exactly. Or you stop so that you can be focused on it, and then he's like, why'd you stop? So, okay, just never 69.
Yeah, there you go. Would you rather sex in the shower or sex in the car?
Sex in the shower. I have had a couple of good sex in the shower experiences. I know it doesn't happen often, and I'm extremely short, so it really doesn't happen often. But sex in the car, like, no, there's just really not enough room. And then also, like, the question of are you about to get labeled a sex offender comes into play. And I have a job with children, so I need that to not be on my record.
Exactly. Yeah, I also just think of sex in the car as like a 16-year-old because I've been in New York City for like 12 years. So
yeah. It's like, yeah, I think I've done it once, and it was when I was like 18 or 19 and still living with my parents.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time in high school, and I just can't imagine doing it now.
And especially because everybody drives small, eco-friendly compact cars, there's like even less room. So,
right. Would you rather sex with the same person for the rest of your life or once a year with a new person each year?
Same person for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Once a year is not enough.
That's what I was. Yes, agreed. Agreed, for sure. Would you rather watch porn together or have your partner read erotica out loud to you?
Probably read erotica out loud. I don't watch a lot of porn. So I think I would be more interested in reading. And I think reading to someone is super intimate. It's like one of my favorite like relationshipy things to do. I did it with my ex, and I think it's super hot and romantic. So if it was also then erotica, I feel like that would be really good.
Same. When I like wrote down this question, I was like, okay, clock that. Like, I
right, like send that for later. Let me find some good ones to keep on hand.
Yeah, because I read lit erotica like more than I watch porn, for sure. So,
oh yeah,
it just would make sense.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Well, clocking that one.
Yeah. So wait, why don't you watch porn? Do you just not like it?
Yeah, I just like feels really fake to me, I guess, because it is. But I don't know. I never watched it as a teenager and wasn't exposed to it until I was older. And I was kind of like, this is it. Like, I don't know. Gotcha. And I'm a very like, I don't know. I can just read or think of something in my head, and like that's enough for me. I don't need the extra.
Gotcha. Would you rather threesome with someone you know and trust or a stranger?
I think a stranger. I've heard some upsetting stories about having a threesome with somebody you know and then it ends up bad later. So yeah. I'd rather be the third, like get brought in, have a good time. See y'all later.
Agreed. Would you rather sex with someone who can't stop the dirty talk or silent except for their orgasm?
I think probably can't stop dirty talk. I've slept with a few people who are very like vocal with dirty talk during sex, and it's easier to get into that than it would be like if you're not making any noise. Like, are you enjoying this? Am I doing okay? Like, something wrong? Like, you just get into your head when it's completely silent. And I think you don't really do that. If they're like dirty talking you, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I can work with this. Like,
yeah, definitely. I would agree. Would you rather give up kissing or give up sex?
Oh,
I know.
That's really hard. Smooching is so nice.
I was thinking about this when I wrote it down. I feel like I would give up sex.
Yeah, I think I might too, because like you can dry hump while you're smooching and like figure shit out, but like kissing is so nice.
Yeah. And like I'll just like kiss and then we can like just masturbate together, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
make it work. Mm-hmm.
But when I, so like on the website, like I clicked give up sex and it was only 23% that clicked on give up sex. Like everyone, yes, said
everybody's trying to smooch.
Nobody's
trying to smooch. Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah. Isn't that like mind blowing?
Yes. I love to make out during sex.
Me too.
Like I think it's super hot. And so if I was like having sex, but I couldn't even make out with them, I'd be pretty bummed. So
same.
Sorry. Part of that 20%.
Yeah, me too. All right, so we're going to switch to Never Have I Ever. Okay, never have I ever had to cover an embarrassing hickey.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I think everyone, right?
Yeah, well, and especially like when I was younger and like hooking up with a lot of guys. I've been a nanny for 10 years. So there were definitely some times where I was like, I don't think my bosses would really care, but I also don't want to have this conversation with my bosses today.
Yeah, definitely. I had to have the conversation with my boss, like, I have a sex podcast.
Oh, you did? In case they, like, saw it out in Apple Podcast land? Well, or...
yeah, because if you Google my name, it's the first thing that pops up. Oh, it pops up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valid.
But it was totally fine. never have I ever been caught having sex.
I have not.
Oh my God, you're so lucky. When I was in high school. Oh my God. When I was in high school, this is like worse than like actually like being caught being penetrated, because I was in high school. I was dating this guy and he was literally eating me out, like legs up, like his face in my vagina, and his mom opened the door.
Oh fuck. Oh my God. I would have been, I probably would have cried.
Yeah, I feel like my face is red just thinking about it.
Yeah, I had my first time when I was a freshman, and then I didn't have sex again until I was 18 and never did it in my parents' house.
Yeah, I think I was like either senior year or maybe even first year of like community college, but like still it was oh so my terrible. Gosh.
Well, even at that point is like more embarrassing. Like it's not, oh, these young, dumb, like 15-year-olds are figuring out. It's like, oh, we're like kind of adults and hi, mom.
Hey. Yeah. And like knew his mom was home, but just was like, oh, let's do this real quick. Oh, terrible. Okay, never have I ever looked through a partner's phone.
Yes, I have. Just one. It was just my most recent ex. He was in the hospital, and I was going through his phone to talk to his parents and his family while he was having the surgery. And I snooped a little and got my feelings hurt and then was insecure about it and did it one other time. And understood why we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in that many relationships since I was, like, much younger. So I feel like I don't have a story like that, but who knows if I was in more relationships, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and typically I am not. Like, I have a lot of open communication. I'm not typically an insecure human, but because I had access to his phone and I was, like, texting all of these people, he's going back into surgery, but, like, everything's fine. and I knew who this person was. So I was like, oh, well, like, does she need to know what's going on? Like, is he talking to her about this too? Like, I'm just trying. Nobody wants to not hear when your friend is in surgery. So I'm like trying to message everybody. Yeah. And then it was just a lot of stuff that was not talking about surgery.
Never have I ever been seriously injured from sex.
I have.
Oh my God, tell me.
I was having sex with this guy at a house that I used to sit for. And in their TV room, the couch and the TV are actually like kind of close together. And the TV was on this massive like radio console thing. And I was sitting like straddling his lap. We were making out. He went to throw me onto the floor, but I was afraid that I was going to hit my head on the console. So I like put my arm out and landed on it. And then he landed on top of me. So it was like both of our weights on my wrist, and it hurt so bad. And it hurt for a few days. So I went to like the clinic, and the doctor looked at it, and he took an x-ray, and he came back, and he was like, you know, I can tell how like messed up the muscle is around there, and you are so lucky you did not fracture your wrist, but somehow you didn't. Here's a cast. Don't put any weight on it for a couple of weeks. But it was like pretty seriously sprained, and it hurt so bad. And I was working, so I was like I had a nanny share at the time, so I was trying to lift two toddlers without actually like bending my wrist ever. So
oh my gosh.
The then like consequence of that injury was also as bad as the injury.
When you first started telling the story though, I thought that a TV was gonna fall on you.
Oh, shit. That would be really bad. Luckily, I have not had anything fall on me during sex. I've broken a bed before though.
Okay, never have I ever ghosted someone.
I have, but only a couple times, because I think it's not very nice.
I agree, yeah. I definitely have, but it's always somebody, like, I haven't met up with, or if I have, like, I just couldn't even respect him that much to, like, worry about it, or, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you know, whatever. Never have I ever slid into a stranger's DMs.
Kind of. I have. When Tumblr was still a thing, I definitely slid into some Tumblr DMs.
Oh my God, I miss Tumblr.
Me too.
Ugh, that was a good. That was a good thing.
It was a good thing. The porn on there. See, and that kind of porn that was just like still pictures. That was like made by people. I was into that.
Yes, definitely. Never have I ever hooked up with someone whose name I didn't know.
Yes, I have. I had to think about it for a second. I keep a list of all the people that I've had sex with, and there's like a couple. There's like hula hula guy. These guys from this place. Like, there's a couple names. No names.
Yeah, I have one of those lists too, and one of them's like Amanda's friend in that living room, or like
exactly.
Oh man. Okay, never have I ever role played.
I have.
Ooh, which one?
It was like schoolgirl teacher type of role play. That's like that was my ideal one, and I did it with my old dom. He was great.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. Never have I ever hooked up with someone in a Halloween costume.
Yes. I mean, I've slept with my various exes on Halloween, and so we took off each other's costumes. Does that count?
Yeah, it does. For sure. I was trying to think, like, I must have slept with somebody on a Halloween night. Like, I always go, like, full dress. Like, I'm, like, crazy about Halloween. But
oh,
I
me too.
I couldn't think. Like, I don't know. I must have.
I don't. I don't think I love Halloween. Halloween is my hands down favorite holiday.
Are we the same person?
We might be. We might have just right now become best friends. And I go hard for Halloween, and like there's definitely been a couple of years that I've had some like pretty hot outfits, and I don't think that I hooked up with anybody either of those nights, which is a damn shame because they were great.
I was trying. Oh, you know what? I hooked up with somebody with one of my freaking worst costumes, which was Medusa, and I just like wrapped a sheet around my body and like put sleeves in my hair.
It worked.
Whatever. never have I ever had a threesome.
I haven't. I really want to, just to like experience it.
Yeah, for sure. Never have I ever been stood up on a date.
Yes, definitely. Multiple times.
Yeah, me too. What's up with that?
Guys are stupid. It's never been a girl. It's never been a girl. There's been one girl who canceled super last minute, but she had like a very valid excuse and let me know. So right. It wasn't, she didn't actually stand me up. She didn't just not show. She was like, hey, I'm so sorry. This thing is happening. I can't make it.
Right. Ugh. Never have I ever been on two dates in 24 hours.
Yes, many times.
I really don't think I have.
When I was like the height of solo poly, and then with my first boyfriend that I was also poly with, like I was banging them out, like,
yeah, that
am I free though. I'm out, we're going out.
That makes sense though, like if you're poly, like to like, yeah. Never have I ever been to a sex club or sex party.
I have been to a sex party. I did not have sex with anybody. I've never been to a sex club. I heard the one in Seattle's only okay, but I'm interested.
How was your sex party experience?
It was really fun. It was some people that I knew and some people that I didn't. It was like hosted by somebody off of the poly group that I used to be in. And before, everybody just like got together and had food, and then some people started like smooching upstairs, and then at like a certain time a bunch of people headed downstairs, but because I have herpes, I was like, this is too much, too many people at one time, like too much effort. I can't really like, I either have to like mass tell everybody what's going on and they can decide from there, or just like not participate. So I just smooched a little bit more with the guy who was already smooching and headed out.
Nice. Okay, last one. Never have I ever given roadhead.
I haven't, but I also want to, but I'm also a little bit afraid to.
I did when I was younger, for sure.
It seems super fun and like dangerous fun, but also at the same time, like there's so much room for like hitting my head on the steering wheel or like getting a dick too far down my throat over a speed bump kind of thing. So.
Oh, I love that. All right. Well, do you have any like last advice? Anything you want to promote? Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was super fun.
Okay. Have a nice night.
Yeah. You too. Bye.
Bye.